Well, good morning, everyone. We're here at what is undoubtedly my favorite time of the year, a time that's magical, that brings great joy and deep satisfaction, that reminds us of what we really value. It's the one season of the year when Trader Joe's has Peppermint JoJo's. Amen. When Leslie found out I was going to be doing a little talk about the church budget, her suggestion was that I just spare us all the pain, simply remind you that you already know what you should do, and then pass out some Peppermint JoJo's as a little treat so we can all bask in an afterglow of minty, chocolatey deliciousness. Unfortunately, the store didn't have enough to go around, and as much as I would have loved to have been part of the miracle of the Peppermint JoJo's and fed the whole congregation from one box, I got a little nervous. So, here we go. Now, we don't usually talk about money in this church, and that's actually one of the things I think a lot of us really like. In some ways, it can be kind of a conflict of interest, I think, for the staff to talk about money and the budget in the church. It can also seem a little mundane, particularly when we're working on big picture issues that we do so well, like community and humility and authenticity. But while we don't discuss it much in worship, the truth is that the leadership team talks about money a pretty good amount, but not necessarily in the way you might think. Of course, some of the discussion is about the budget, but it's not ever in terms of fundraising and how we can get more from people. It's more about what's faithful and how we can support each other in joining God's work. Coming out of some of those recent discussions, we decided that the leadership team should play a bigger role in helping us to engage around the topic of money and how we use it. And that's why I'm the one standing up here in front of you today. Now, the main reason we don't talk a lot about money, I think, is because it's such a loaded topic. It gets to some of the most intimate, personal, essential aspects of who we are and how we think and what our hopes and our fears are. In a very literal sense, our money is what we sell our time, what we give our lives for. It gets to our fears about security, about whether we can do what we have to do, protect ourselves, provide for our families, and not be a burden to others. It's also what we use to achieve our desires, travel, stuff, entertainment, experiences. In truth, it's actually one of the most personal and intimate expressions of all that we are. It's a roadmap to what we really value as opposed to what we say we value. In thinking about money in a church context, we sometimes seem to lack a good language for what we're really talking about. Giving smacks of a zero-sum game. I assess what I have, and I give some of it to you. If I'm giving, that must mean that somebody else is taking. Generosity, which is a beautiful word, also sounds a little bit like noblesse oblige. What's the minimum I can give to fulfill my social or moral or spiritual duty? Stewardship is also a lovely concept that's right there, but sometimes can have a little bit of an outdated or maybe tight-fisted sound to it. I think one useful sort of contemporary way to think about it is in terms of investing in what we value, or of joining in a partnership with God. When you think about investing, it's a two-way street, right? I'm not giving something up, I'm exchanging one asset for another. Just like a house or a car helps you to enable the important things in your life, so too does a strong, vibrant church community that is about building relationships and creating a better world. Investing also makes me a stakeholder. If I invest in Coke, for example, I'm more likely to tell other people about it, to share the good news of Coke, and I'm less likely to drink Pepsi. When I invest, I also expect a return, that the money I put into a thing will yield more than if I just kept that money to myself. I think part of the reason, though, that we don't usually use the word investing when we're talking about church is that it sounds more like a term for the for-profit world than for the nonprofit world. We tend to fall into this trap of using different rules for nonprofits than we do in the case of for-profit businesses. We think in terms of keeping overhead to a minimum, not paying top market rates for the best talent or the best results. And a lot of that is predicated on the idea that the budget in the nonprofit world is a small, limited pie. That thinking finds its way into the way a lot of churches budget, and I suspect also in the way we think about making the choices that we make to participate in that budget. It tends to make people think small and lean and cautiously. But what if we thought in terms of what we're trying to create and how we can maximize it? Is there any question that our world needs more love, more charity, more justice, more humility, more service, more kindness? How can we maximize that? Of course we want to be efficient. We don't want to waste money on unnecessary expenses or luxuries, but that's because we want to maximize the money we can put to work, and we know that there's no end to the needs that our resources can help address. So let's talk for a second about the church budget. I want to tell you, first of all, that I've never been in a church that's more thoughtful and diligent in thinking about and using its budget as an expression of the church's values. There's a tremendous amount of prayer and thought that goes into the budgeting process, thinking about what's faithful, what we're called to do, and what will help us best to encourage one another daily to follow in the way of Jesus. I think you'll see that in how the budget shakes out. First of all, our budget is incredibly efficient. About 52% of the budget, more than half, is spent on personnel. Drew and Joe, Miriam, Micah, Jan, far and away our biggest expense, but we want to have the right leaders, and we want to be able to provide for them so that their needs are met and their families are taken care of. About 6% of the budget is on worship and discipleship activities that are focused on adults, so the worship service, our retreats. Just to give you some sense of how deep and thoughtful that work is, I'd encourage you to go back and reread Micah's piece in the weekly Kairos email from a few weeks ago. It's on the website still, where he talks about the theological and philosophical underpinnings of how we use music in our worship. We're not just singing songs here, but that music is an essential part of helping to shape our Christian identities and encourage each other. That's the kind of thought that goes into all of this. About 9% of the budget is spent on children and youth ministry. We've had 10 baptisms in the church this year, and when you're here and you see one, you can see what a manifestation they are of what this community really is. Young and growing and committed to each other, serious about our faith. We have 68 volunteers, many of whom are here right now, who have worked with our children in Sunday school. About 2% of the budget is spent on community development, things like picnics, communications, the upcoming Christmas party. Part of that, we've had 27 new members join, and this is one of the ways that we help to welcome and encourage them. And about 18% of our budget is spent on missional calling, our equipping fund, our pastor discretionary fund, our contributions to the presbytery. And again, we continue to bear down and think really hard about the equipping fund, trying to establish the right standards, disciplines, processes, communications around it, so that we can make sure that the fund is a tool for encouraging and equipping the Kairos community to live generous, intentional, mission-driven lives, responding to the grace that they've received. Now we've got about 4% that we spend on administrative expenses, which is incredibly efficient, and about 9% on this building. So we're not spending a lot on ourselves here. We've built a budget that's consistent with our values. Teaching and study to know Jesus. Facilities and programs that allow us to live together in a vulnerable, honest community, to care for each other and to seek reconciliation across the expanding concentric circles of our lives. Mission programs that allow us to join in God's continuing work in our families, our city, and our world, and to invite others to join with us. Now, even as efficient as it is, as lean as that budget is that I just described to you, it's also a source of stress, to be quite honest. We are behind right now where we want to be. Our total budget for the year is $895,000. And our fiscal year runs from July 1st to June 30th. So we know that we need to collect the bulk of our contributions in the first half of our fiscal year, that is by December 31st, since that's the time in the calendar when most people make their charitable contributions. So far, we're about $150,000 behind what we had budgeted to receive thus far this year, and we're lagging behind the pace of last year's receipts. But forget for a second about the expense budget as being our goal. Our goal is to do much more, to be partners, to be impact investors in the kingdom of God. So when I say that the budget is a source of stress, it's not so much a can we keep the lights on sort of stress, we'll take care of that, but it's more about whether as a group we're doing an effective job of encouraging each other and of becoming who we're seeking to be. I don't want budget issues to be taking up the mental space of our leaders. I want them to be able to focus on harnessing their spiritual gifts to help our discipleship and our missional activities, to build community, to help us encourage one another. Now let's talk just for a second about some of the stories that we're able to tell about the impact that we're having with our budget. First, we're building our community, these Sunday worship gatherings, Bible studies, community groups. You read in last week's email about the men's group that gathered recently to talk about their fathers and the influences their fathers had, both positive and negative, in their lives. and what we could all learn from the experiences we've had with our own fathers to help each other become the men that we want to be. That's really important work. We serve us alongside one another. The Haiti Outreach Mission, which includes more than 10 trips that we've made to Haiti, and another coming up in January. And the work that we've done there to support over 40 children in a pre-K class in Cité Soleil. Our classroom teaching of our own children here. The work we do with refugees in Clarkston, which you're going to hear a little bit more about later in the service. And the equipping fund and the mission work. And also, I think one really important thing that's going on is the partnership we've got with Bethesda, the Spanish-speaking church that shares our sanctuary with us. That's made possible by the fact that we have a budget that allows us to have this building and these facilities. So the investment that I'm talking about here is about who we are and who we are becoming. God wants us to be stakeholders with him because that deepens our relationship with him. It's a manifestation of what we value and what we believe in. If you were talking to your parents, or your children, or your friends, what is it you'd be proud to say you want more of? It's probably not more stuff or more entertainment. It's probably not more defensive walls against outside threats. Wouldn't you want to say that what you want is more community, more compassion, more faith, more love? When the leadership team recently was talking about the budget, we talked about the things that most frequently lead someone to invest in their community. One key one is understanding the need, and I think we all see that. Another is hearing stories about how their resources can help, going beyond the dollars and cents and connecting that to narrative and meaning and community. And it's also referencing their values, things like the faithfulness, stewardship, and authenticity of what's happening right here. I think all three of these things are clear and they're right in front of you. But the most powerful, in my mind, is the third, to look inwardly and to take stock of what you really value. So to sum up, I'd like to ask that you talk about this, that you think about it on the way home, and maybe ask yourselves, why am I here? What do I value? What is worth investing in? What matters? What endures? What is faithful? And maybe, if we do this right, we'll be able to strengthen our community with boxes and boxes of Peppermint JoJo's and maybe a better snowplow for the parking lot next time. At least I can dare to dream. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for making us your partners in your work here. Please open our hearts and our minds to how we can best invest our resources, our time, and our gifts in your work of community, love, growth, and reconciliation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.